I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio. Today, Boston public school officials and the city's teachers union are planning to meet to resolve a contract dispute that's been in play for over 2 years. One of the contract issues is teacher evaluations, a point of contention that is also among the list of complaints that's fueling day two of the Chicago's teacher strike. Joining me to talk about teacher evaluations is John Friedman. He's an assistant professor of public policy at Harvard Kennedy School. John Friedman, welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
So, evaluations, it's not just on the table in Chicago. It's been on the table, one of the sticking points here in Boston. Before we dive into what your research shows, why are they so contentious? And it seems to me that it's become a point of contention in the last few years. Was the fact that teachers had to be evaluated always something that was at issue?
So teachers have been evaluated in most places. Sometimes it hasn't happened, but it's always been there on the books. I think what's at issue now is two things. First, how they're being evaluated, and second, what can be done with those evaluations. So in recent years, a number of states and districts across the country have moved to include more quantitative measures based on student test score results in the evaluation of teachers. And they want to be able to act on those, for instance, in choosing which teachers to let go when they close a school or have to reduce staff in some other way. So they want to make the personnel decisions more sensitive to what comes out in the evaluations. Previously, most teachers have had tenure, and these decisions are made on a strict seniority system.
Okay. So that's the reason why unions, teachers' unions, are willing to, you know, fight to the death. That's a little extreme language, but, you know, very, very intensely about this, because it makes a difference about, you know, who stands to be in a job and who doesn't.
Absolutely. I mean, this is an issue at the core of how our nation's schools will be run.
All right. So your research looked at teachers who were able to improve student test scores, and we should say that this is one of the ways that teachers are evaluated. Student test scores go up. Teachers' work is then assessed to be good or better or best. And you looked at the improvement of student test scores and found that the teachers who raised test scores consistently over time, this means not, you know, last year to this year, but over maybe several years, whatever, have a tremendous long-term impact on student earnings in their lifetime and how many will go to college. So it's not just a momentary impact. It's really a kind of a lifetime impact.
That's right. And what we showed is that, first of all, looking at test scores is actually a way to learn about what the teacher is doing to the students. You're not just picking up which teacher happened to have more students from poor families or more students that are in the gifted program. We're really learning something about the teachers. And it's not just figuring out which teachers teach to the test best. The teachers that come out on top in these rating systems increase student earnings in the long run. They make students more likely to go to college. They make them less likely to become teenage parents. Really important changes. These are the things that we want education to do. And so if these rating systems are helping in those long-term outcomes, then I think there's reason to think they should be part of how we evaluate teachers.
And if we were to go to the larger context and say, we can try to make a link and say the students whose test scores are improving, those teachers are doing very good work, and so they should be there. Whereas conversely, perhaps those who are not doing very good work, you know, or maybe they're not doing very good work if the students' test scores don't improve. But that is the sticking point.
Absolutely. I think, you know, if you look across many different industries, industries which really rely on the intelligence and strength of their workforces are industries where there is this feedback between performance evaluation and progression through your job. And the notion, for instance, that a law firm wouldn't be able to fire anybody, even if they're not doing great work, after just a year or two in the job, just runs so counter to everything that we think about how those organizations run. What a lot of these changes are trying to do is bring those really common organizational management tools that we see all across different industries into the public school systems, where teachers are really the key input into how these students are learning in the classroom.
My guest is John Friedman. He's an assistant professor of public policy at the Harvard Kennedy School, and we're talking about teacher evaluations. It's a big sticking point in the Chicago strike, and it's one here in Boston where contract talks have been stalled for 2 years with teachers in both cities concerned about how evaluations are done and how they will be used. John Friedman has done research that shows that it really is linked to how well students do if student test scores go up, and those teachers who are able to improve those test scores seem to be the best teachers based on the research. Now, here's the problem. What you know now, according to data, is that the teachers who are doing that, the ones that just go in there every day, the ones that we know about and hear about and, you know, hold up as paragons, are just doing it because that's what they do. They're good teachers, and this is what they want to do. They want to work overtime. They want to work closely with the student. They want to help improve the test scores. What is not clear is that if you make it a formalized system so that teachers are told, hey, this is the evaluation. The student's test scores go up. You get a better deal. And that's how we're evaluating you. If that is in place, whether or not that will change the dynamic.
I think that's right. Because all of these systems across the country are new, we have not had the opportunity to learn what the impacts of such a system actually being in place are. And so there could be positive consequences. For instance, this is a way to recognize and reward the best teachers. We think of that as being a good thing within the workplace. It could also have negative consequences if, for instance, teachers begin to teach to the test more so than they're already doing. And so there's still a lot that we need to learn about these systems. I think what the research shows, though, is that the potential benefits from these long-term outcomes are so large that I think it's really silly if we don't even try to figure out how these systems work in practice. So just to give you a number, if we were to replace by student test scores an average teacher with a top 5% teacher in a classroom of 25 students, the total gains from just 1 year with that better teacher over those students' lifetimes would be nearly $1.5 million. I mean, we're talking about tremendous amounts of money here. And so I think what the school district in Chicago and in Boston and in other parts of the country, there are now 17 states plus the District of Columbia who are doing this, they're not placing all of the weight in teacher evaluations on test scores. They're putting some of the weight, and it varies across place. Washington, D.C. is on the high end at about 50%. New York State, for instance, is a little bit lower. They place 20% weight on these types of measures. And so putting them in, see how they work. We're going to not just give them lower weight, but there's going to be a human who gets to see at the end of the day. Maybe there's some teacher who's in a really special circumstance. They get a terrible, terrible value-added score or a student test score rating. But then the principal comes in and says, oh, well, we know why this happened. It's because this teacher was teaching a classroom with some really very needy special education students. And so we're going to, I think a lot of these proposals are going to use these measures in a cautious way, but we want to start using them to try to learn how they perform in practice and also to help improve our schools.
Well, it could be argued that, as you said, they're in many, many places, but it's not everywhere yet. It's not the formula for doing it. It's not uniform in that way. And what you've just described is the way it optimally should work. One takes the scores, and it's a part of a holistic evaluation of the teacher. But it doesn't become the evaluation. However, when we look at what's going on with just the tests that are required now in certain states, in here in Massachusetts, they're called MCAS. If the students don't make a certain mark, that's it. You're not seeing a holistic evaluation of their abilities, if you get where I'm going here. It's a very bottom line thing. You make this score, you're in this group. You don't make this score, there's a problem. So what's to stop this from becoming or devolving into the evaluation as opposed to part of the evaluation process?
I think that if you, at least the various different descriptions of the proposed evaluation systems in Chicago, in Boston, and other places, they put a student test scores play an important role, but nowhere is it said that they play the entire role. And I think part of what we just need to do is get these measures in the system, and then we can figure out how is the best way to use them. Of course, there are going to be good ways and bad ways to use them. student test scores are an imperfect statistic. You know, a good analogy is like batting average. It would be crazy to think that batting average is the only thing we care about when thinking about a baseball player. There are other measures even of how well players hit. Plus, we want to think about how they do in the field or their clubhouse presence. But to think that you wouldn't want to place any weight on batting average seems equally crazy. We want to find that middle ground where we're taking the information from student test scores, we're using it to the extent that it's helpful, we're combining it with other pieces of valuable information that you just can't capture in a number. And then, as you say, we'll make a holistic evaluation. I think that's part of the reason why it's so important to have people like principals, even peers, involved in these decisions to make sure that there's a human on the end of the line. This is not only reliant on a formula that's spat out by a computer, that there's someone reviewing these measures, how they're being used, and making sure they're being used in a sensible way.
So, John Friedman, assistant professor of public policy at Harvard Kennedy School, whose research goes directly to teacher evaluations, you've observed that the objections to this kind of testing, incentivizing, however you want to describe it, is diminishing. Is that because teachers' unions have lost the fight, or because people are more inclined now to believe that what you say is true, that there's just such a possibility for a higher reward that we just got to try it?
I think that we're learning more over time about how these teaching evaluation systems work. I think if you had a conversation 2 years ago, I think the first two things that we started with, that these measures are a good measure of teachers' impact on test scores and that they have these long-run impacts, they weren't known. And so as we learn more from research about how these measures perform, I think that research has come down favorably for these student test score-based evaluation measures. I have not done a great deal of research in education before I started looking at these evaluation systems. And if you had asked me before I started, did I think that these things were a great idea, I think I would have been very cautious because the research was not yet definitive. But I think as we learn more, we realize that these are an increasingly important part of how we can improve school quality. And then plus, I think especially coming out of this recession where funds at the state and local level are so scarce, there's really a premium on not just throwing money at everything, but finding that, those few ways that we can really cut through the clutter and improve schools. And I think teacher quality is looking like it's one of those ways.
John Friedman, assistant professor of public policy at Harvard Kennedy School. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
All right. For an update on where the Boston public schools are with teacher evaluations in Boston, we have Boston Herald's Dave Wedge on the line. Dave Wedge, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Kelly. How are you doing?
Fine. So this is 2 years. I think, you know, the rest of us who are not immersed in this don't realize it's been quite that long that the Boston school teachers have been working without a contract.
Yeah, it's flown under the radar a little bit, but, you know, this is kind of the way that business goes on in Boston regularly. If you recall a couple of years ago, the really contentious fire department contract, that they were without a contract for, I believe, at least 2 years, if not more. It might have been as many as three or four by the time the contract got signed. The problem with that procedure is that once the Boston teachers do settle with the city, this contract is going to be retroactive 2 years, back to 2010, which is when the last one expired. So in another 2 or 3 years, we're going to be right back in the same boat where, you know, they're going to have to negotiate a new contract. And if it becomes tense or there's, you know, disagreements again, they could go, you know, another year or two beyond this contract. And
there you go.
Kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know?
Yeah. And if it goes retro, then that means that, you know, what would be involved in it, assuming we get this evaluation process, you know, signed on to, I was going to say approved of, but I don't know, approval is the wrong word, that everybody signs on to it. It's probably likely going to be some compromise model. That's retro too then, right?
Well, that's the question. I believe the union wants to have the, I'm not sure my understanding of this, but my understanding is that the union wants the new evaluations in place as soon as possible. I believe that based on the state model that is currently in place in a lot of schools, and I think the city wants to delay implementation because of some of the things John was talking about, to try to figure out what the best way to do this is. So the evaluation issue is a huge issue. My understanding is that pay is not a huge issue. They've basically come to a general agreement where it's about 12% over 6 years, which is about 2% a year. And my understanding is that both sides have kind of agreed that that's fair.
So we got what's happening in Chicago. They've gone back to the table, we've just been told, today. And we know that the Boston folks are going back to the table today as well to try to work out particularly the sticky wicket of the evaluation. The state model itself actually is part of the issues because Superintendent Carol Johnson is in favor of a different model. And she was here at WGBH on Boston Public Radio not long ago, and she said they were having school open and going forward, and she intended to implement the evaluation process that she was in favor of, despite what may be going on legally. So is there any danger of what happened in Chicago happening here? Because when she made that comment, the Boston Union folks said, well, they could consider suing, but that's where it was at the time.
Well, I think court is always an option in these situations. I think both sides are trying to avoid that, which is why they're sitting at the table. And the union has told me repeatedly, and it's been out there publicly reported, that they're really frustrated with the superintendent herself for not sitting at the table directly with them so they can express these sentiments directly to her. That said, no one has mentioned to me anyway the S word, the strike word. Hasn't even been brought up. It hasn't even been a consideration here in Boston. Again, that said, these teacher evaluation issues are huge. The pressure on teachers to perform is constantly being increased. You know, teachers are now required to take tests. There's talk of extended school day, Saturday school, the MCAS, and John mentioned, teaching to the test. If you talk to teachers, and I have many in my family and friends, they'll talk about how that the MCAS has changed the way they teach. They don't have as much time to relate to the students in one-on-one fashion and kind of deal with them on a more human level. They're constantly trying to, get them to meet these academic standards, which are constantly being elevated. So that's a legitimate concern for the teachers union. They're afraid of the standards continually going up to the point where teachers won't be able to reasonably meet them.
So given the fact that they're gone back to the table today, are you getting any sense that something concrete could come out in, let's say, the next couple weeks from the renewed conversations?
I would think at the longest. I got the sense from talking to the superintendent the other day and also the union on Friday that the sides are pretty close, but this evaluation issue, the state model versus what the superintendent wants, seems to be the real sticking point. There's also some minor issues, like the union wants to hire six nurses, and the city is kind of, they don't want to go with that. But those are minor issues that will probably get ironed out. There'll be some sort of compromise, as you mentioned. But the evaluation issue is a big deal to both sides.
All right, so we'll be keeping an eye on that as the evaluation issues continue to be on the table and discussed. And right now, the teachers union, the Boston Teachers Union, and the city are on opposite sides of that question. Dave Wedge from the Boston Herald, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you, Callie. Have a great day.
All righty. We've been talking about teacher evaluations and why they remain a point of contention not only in Boston, but in Chicago, where they're into their second day of a teacher strike, which has locked 350,000 kids out of the classroom. And I was speaking with Dave Wedge, a reporter and columnist for the Boston Herald. Kara Miller is back in Studio 3.
Hey, Callie, so I've got a question for you. If advances in biomedicine could extend your life to 150 or 160, would you want to live that long?
Is my boyfriend the same age?
Good answer. So we're going to be looking at this question, not that question. But if science and public health could push our lifespans well beyond 100 years old, what would society be like? What would our quality of life be like? And how would that change the way that we think about age in this society? I'm Kara Miller.
I'm Callie Crossley. And this is Boston Public Radio.